Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, Blue You, in Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft, a Sewn Art with Rich Neutron, and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dex. Fridays, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. And Saturday split with Grey Eyes Howling at the Moon in the Canadian Wilds with Bad Company and Ecstasia with Captain B2 and Dan. And if you're looking for a little more edgier realm, then check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Monday through Saturday morning. Mondays are split between The Heart of L&P with Victoria Frost or Black Lace Diaries with Mr. M and Mistress Frost. Tuesdays, Come Take a Walk on the Wild Side. Fridays are split between Crawling into the Darkness with Pam and Break on Through. And Saturdays, join Aphasiana and Babla as they teach you the fine art of being part sinner, part saint. Check out the contests and prompts for all our shows. Call in to read your poems and hang for the fun. Good evening, Jean. How are you tonight? Well,
good evening, Rex. I'm doing okay. I wrote a poem today. Shh, don't tell anybody. I want it to be a surprise.
Are you a whiter shade of pale because of it?
I think I am, as a matter of fact. Oh, my gosh. But what a funny day it was. Yeah. So I'm doing all right. How are you? How's life?
I'm fine.
Good. Very good. Very good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. I'm looking forward to tonight's poetry. Should be good stuff.
Yeah, there's some fun in here as well. There's some other great pieces, so it ought to be a blast.
Right. Well, you know, if people lean towards a parody, there's always room for some fun pieces. There really is, because you can take them anywhere you want as long as you follow the cadence and stuff. You know.
Yes.
I don't know how. I'm not sure how I would have written to it if I hadn't done a parody myself. I'm not sure how I would have taken it because because it's not a pinpointed, there's not a pinpointed interpretation out there that I could find. Because I didn't want to, like, talk about something I had no idea about. So I went and I looked. And the closest one I found really wasn't, you know, it wasn't gospel. So I was like, well, you know, I want to write on something that really has no proof or surety behind it. So I said, yeah, parody is the safest way to go. But those interpretations were something. But that one was really good. It was. It went on about the sinking of the Titanic. And I think you had said something about you had seen that one as well. It was pretty in-depth.
Yeah, and I saw another one about that thought with the waiter brought over a tray, the thought to being a whiter shade of pale, overdosing on cocaine.
Oh, see, I didn't see that one. Yeah, that's what, yeah. I could see how that would fit.
But I'll give you a bite. When Keith Reed wrote this way back in the day, it's 55 years now, he had heard, it was at a party, and he had heard somebody remark that someone had turned a whiter shade of pale, or they looked a whiter shade other than they normally would. So that kind of stuck in the back of his mind. And the story behind the piece itself was about a breakup of a boy and a girl. And he was looking to do it in such a fashion like a Dolly painting, drawing out the vision through words as opposed to paint itself. So that's why it came out as such a surreal look inside with the language and in the lyrics. And they only did two stanzas on the original song, because when he wrote it, it was four stanzas long, and they figured this is going to be 12 minutes. We'll never get any airplay. So the fourth stanza was dropped immediately. The third one eventually made it out too, and they stuck with the first two. And Gary Brooker was already playing with that opening tune with the Hammond organ. That's a piece based on a piece of Bach's orchestral suite number 3. And it has that nice, haunting little lilt to it, opening up the song. And it fits the words that were sent in by Reed.
That's something. Well, see, they should have followed, not followed his lead. But, you know, they should have been as sharp as Freddie Mercury. when they did Bohemian Rhapsody, that was another really long song that they thought they'd never get airtime on, and he insisted. So, see, they should have thought about that. Just kidding. Well, I'm not kidding, but, you know, like kind of.
Well, when Freddie did that, that was 8 years later, so it was a nice span of time. And this was coming when radio waves were 2 to 3 minute songs, and everybody insisted that you stick to the formula. But this one, as it works out, is just a little over 4 minutes. And the one with the four stanzas that I found that they did do, they never put down on vinyl or CD or anything. They did do it for live audiences, the four stanza piece was almost 10 minutes long.
Yeah, that was hard to find, that piece, because I went looking for the four stanzas so I could kind of I wanted to get a feel for the whole thing before I even tried to write anything, because I'm weird like that, and I kept listening, and they're all just coming up short. And I found one, it was like 9 minutes long, but it was still only the two stanzas. I'm like, what are they trying to do to me? So anyway, then I went and I found the one finally. And I said, wow, check that out. It really does exist.
And
I think you would just
I'm sorry. The thought was, this was the first kind of move out of the pop 2 to 3 minute songs into a different realm where the music and the words actually spoke to something different. It came out in May 12th of 1967. They had recorded it in April. And somebody leaked it to a pirate radio station called Radio London. So they got significant airplay. And when it came out, it sold big. And 2 weeks later, another big album came out, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, which was also walking the very same realm.
Right. Isn't that something? I just want to share with you, in 1967, I was 4 and a half. In April of 1967,
Well, also that year, the Moody Blues came out with Nights in White Satin in November, and Cream came out with Disraeli Gears, Tales of Brave Ulysses, in November of that year as well.
There you go. Nights in White Satin was the theme for my prom. Yep. My senior prom, Nights in White Satin. See? Things go round in circles. Just so you know, Rex, I picked up two people. We have Pam and have Randy G on the line. Shame on me, but I you know, we get chattering. But hello, Pam, and hello, Randy. It's great to have you both.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
How you doing?
Yes.
How are you guys doing?
Great. Looking forward to this. Should be a fun night.
I'm with you. Me too.
Absolutely.
What you guys think? I thought that was a great prompt for tonight. I did too.
And what I particularly liked is that Rex told people that they could either go with the whole song or they could pick out a part or mix and match parts.
Right.
I thought that, you know, that leaves it more open to people, you know, choosing what parts speaks to them the most.
Right. Pick a stanza and do a write on it. I could see how that would work. But I was determined that I wasn't going to get lost in that whole interpretation thing, because, you know, I get weird. But I totally get it. You know, it was a great song to pick and choose from and to pluck pieces, I thought, anyway. Now, Rex, just so
parodies are not one of my strengths, so I did not even attempt a parody. I just took one section and wrote from there. So if my interpretation is wrong, well, that's okay. I don't think they're going to come beat me with their guitars or their drum sets or anything.
No, I don't think so. I don't think
55 years, I think most are gone by now, except for maybe Keith Reed.
Yeah, true. Good point.
Rex, I'm not sure if you got my message, but I sent you one. Randy can only stay for about a half hour.
Why don't we kick with Randy so we can get that off to a good start.
I don't know if I start with Randy. He might just leave right away, and I don't want him to do that either.
I'll hang.
You'll hang? Okay, since you said you're going to hang, Randy, I'm going to put your piece up first. I'm trusting you, man. I'm trusting you.
Well, that's shaky, but okay.
It's up whenever you're ready, hon.
Okay, I based mine on the four stanza version. and it's a parody. Should have stuck with ale. Came home late, tripped on a fan and banjo, went heels overhead across the floor. The last shot of tequila had made me sick. The crowd in the bar said, how about one more? My head was spinning harder. Looking up at the ceiling far away. I sure don't remember ordering that last drink, but the waiter brought a tray. My girlfriend came in moments later, right after she made bail. Both drunk and pasty, looking ghostly. Should have stuck with ale. She said, what the hell's the reason? I can barely see. I mumbled, if you're going to puke, go out in the yard. And she said, let me be. I drank down 16 shots of bourbon and said cheers to every toast. While both our eyes were open, they might just as well have been closed. My girlfriend came in moments later, right after she made bail. Both drunk and pasty, looking ghostly. Should have stuck with ale. She said, this sucks. I think I'll leave. Except I'm wobbly, like I'm out at sea. I said, I've just found two glasses. How about a shot of Hennessy? You can swim in it like a mermaid, unless that hurts your pride. Then she said, I love you madly. I think I chuckled, or at least I tried. My girlfriend came in moments later, right after she made bail. Both drunk and pasty, looking ghostly. Should have stuck with ale. If alcohol's our food of love, I'm the jester and you're the queen. We're so far behind, we think we're in front. And so dirty, we imagine that we're clean. My mouth is dry as cardboard. Maybe another drink will clear my head. We leaned on each other and got up quickly and struggled off to bed. End poem.
Great read, Randy. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, why don't you lead us off, please?
Absolutely. Oh, boy, I really enjoyed this. It was a great parody. I love that it's that kind of humor about the consequences of having those strong shots and mixing up the drink. I really particularly liked my girlfriend came in moments later right after she made bail. Both drunk and tasty looking ghostly, should have stuck with ale. It sounds like she had just a bit more fun, but also paid a hell of a lot more consequences. I also like to mention the where I said I just found two glasses. How about a shot of Hennessy? You can swim in it like a mermaid, unless that hurts your pride. Oh, my gosh. I like how you mixed in elements from the song, but gave it a humorous twist. Like the whole idea of swimming in Hennessy like a mermaid was very clever. So excellent right here, Randy, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Well, Randy, I have to agree with Pam. This is a great, great piece. I liked your take on the original. It was a good parody. And yeah, there were so many great swaps in the stanzas itself. I have to say, I thought that the the chorus was really good. You know, my girlfriend came in moments later, right after she made bail. Well, that was a rough one there to make bail. Both drunk and pasty, looking ghostly, should have stuck with ale. Just really, it was a clever swap for the chorus. And I liked each one of the stanzas very much. I think that you really did a great job. And, yeah, I kind of like that mermaid's stanza as well. And I like the last one.
And I
like
the
I'm sorry? Okay. I think I'm echoing. If alcohol is our food of love and the jester and you're the queen, we're so far behind we think we're in front and so dirty we imagine that we're clean. You know, that's I like the last stanza as well. So nicely done. Great job. Great job.
Thank you, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Randy, thanks. I gotta tell you, this is funny. And that thought with the should have stuck with ale was a nice touch against the whiter shade of pale, because the way you drew it all out with that thought, and you opened up nicely too. Came home late, stripped on a fan and banjo, and heels overhead across the floor. That last shot of the field made me sick. The crowd in the bar said, "How about one more?" You play nicely off the tone, the intonation of the original, but definitely walk it your way, and it's funny. And it also hits on the notion of, yeah, there's a whole lot of truth in that for some people who've been down this road, hugging the porcelain princess, so to speak, or, do it outside, please, not here. I like that thought. I downed 16 shots of bourbon against the one of 16 vessel virgins. That was a nice, clever juxtaposition of thought. And I'm glad you took up all four stanzas, because this definitely needed all four stanzas to play out the scene and fill out the last end with this struggle off the bed to finish out. And like Pam said, you took a couple of the lines from the song and use them as well, which works. My mouth is dry as cardboard, offers up an intonation of cotton mouth, which is something else you get with booze and other things. But this was a great piece and funny as hell as well.
Thank you, Rick.
Oh, you're very welcome.
If I could sing, I would have actually tried to do it along with the song, because I tried to stick to the song when I wrote it.
Yes, you did. And I like the theme you played out. That was funny as hell. Because everybody from their youthful days can actually, yeah, I once did that. I can't do that no more.
Yep, been there and done that.
Yes, absolutely. All right, Gene, hey, that one's on you now. But you got to unmute first.
Go figure.
See. We finally get you up to 49 minutes, and here we go. We're back to 20.
I know. It's terrible. It's terrible. Okay. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so I put Myriad Dark's piece up for you, Rex, so whenever you are ready. And I'll try to stay off the mute.
Taylor Shade of Fade Out by Myriad Dark. We dressed in neon like the Durango, El Court, where the sky met the floor. I was stunned by all the silence. I knew because I'd been there once before. There were people in harlequin clothing playing catechism cards all day. I was watching from the rooftop where angels danced to Charlie Ray. I do believe it happened much later, when the moon was not afraid. Counting backwards from infinity, she stood firm against the noontide, a paler shade of fade out. I gathered by her presence. It was a seance filled with possibilities. There was a devil in the detail, quoting from a book of imagery. As we wandered through a garden of such unearthly delight, between the serpent and the dream, who asked, who will take the first bite? She, who must not be named, replied, I will make amends to step inside. I watched her through a kaleidoscope, observing the truth is hard to tell. I noticed she wore no angel wings. The day the music died, she smiled at me so ruefully, confessing, my sins are hard to hide. So if love is the music we ingest, who gifts the magical queen? When tracing through the eyes of March, in that once upon a dream, my tongue was bathed in fire, vision filled my empty head, an empty throne in heaven signaled who really fell instead, a paler shade of a poem. Nice to be done, thank you. All right, Randy, why don't we start with you, please?
I think I think my favorite was the third stanza. I watched her through the kaleidoscope, observing the truth is hard to tell. I noticed she wore no angel wings. The day the music died, she smiled at me so ruefully, confessing, my sins are hard to hide. So if love is the music we ingest, who gives the magical queen? When tracing through the Ides of March, and that once upon a dream, that really, that had a real good sing to it in the flow, and that really was my favorite part. But the whole poem was very well written, and I really enjoyed it all the way through.
Excellent. Thank you, Randy. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I have to agree. This is a great write all the way through. And I like that, Randy, that you brought up the part about when the music died, and I thought that was a great reference to that song. And I also liked the reference to the Ides of March, because to me, being the day that, Julius Caesar was stabbed, I felt like there was a kind of a deep metaphor within those lines. I also really like, I gathered by her presence, there was a seance filled with possibilities. There was a devil in the details, quoting from a book of imagery. You know, and then between the serpent and the dream, who asked who will take the first bite, she said, must not be named. She who must not be named replied, I will make amends to step aside. Now, the general idea that I get from some parts of this writing, especially the part that I just read off, is the idea of searching for answers, but more importantly, searching for someone to blame. I really felt like there was this, I like the musical references, too, that he put in here, like the day the music died, Charlie Ray, those, and I swear there was another one, but I'm having trouble finding it. Even the stanza that speaks about the serpent and the biting apple kind of makes me think of that one song, Inagata Davida. I do believe it happened much later when the moon was not afraid. I think when you picture the idea of the moon being afraid, you picture the idea of all the darkness and horror that and cruelty that the moon sees as it looks down. I think this is a wonderful thought-provoking write with one great imagery and metaphors, and is very well done.
Thank you very much there, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Okay, well, I thought this was a great write as well. I think there were great stanzas throughout. I have to say that I have to slip into that same stanza as Pam mentioned. I watched her through a kaleidoscope, observing the truth is hard to tell. I noticed she wore no angel wings the day the music died. She smiled at me so ruefully, confessing my sins are hard to hide. So if love is the music we ingest, who gifts the madrigal queen when traipsing through the Ides of March in that once upon a dream? I thought that was a pretty, a great stanza. And I think that the imagery and the thoughts in that are pretty strong. Not that the others aren't. I mean, I think they were all really well done. And, great job on the chorus of itself. I love that ending stanza very much. I thought it was just really well done. So great job, Myriad Zark.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jean. I get caught that opening line. We dressed in neon lights of Durango, held court where the sky met the floor. I was stunned by all the silence. I knew because I'd been there once before. That was a nice opening stanza. And it hits on a couple of things because of the thought of playing catechism cards all day. I was watching from the rooftop where angels danced to Charlie Ray. That opening angle kind of had a twisted thought of eyes wide shut, but it also offered up a sense of death in its notion. And then dropped in, it was a seance filled with possibilities. There was a devil in the detail, quoting from the Book of Imagery. That was really good because it's on the garden, the serpent, and the dream. And then this thought was, I know she wore no angel wings the day the music died. Nice touch to American Pie. She smiled at me so ruefully, confessing my sins are hard to hide. So there's that dual offering with that. And who gets the magical queen and tricks me through the Ides of March in that once upon a dream? Now the Ides of March does refer to Julius Caesar, and that in that once upon a dream is kind of that notion of thinking thee be king in the moment, but hit on that backside, an empty throne in heaven, signaling who really fell instead, a paler shade of fade, kind of hits that motion of the fall of Lucifer, and how he lives here so that we can have things that we have to pay for and what somebody else paid for once school long ago. Nicely done, Myriad. Thank you very much.
All right,
Jane.
Okay, Doki. I'm going to read the next one. Oh, good. I'm not on mute. They can't tease me now. This is the one carryover from last week, though.
So. Yes, it was a late entry that I didn't see.
Right. Okay, this is called Aquamarine Sees Queen by Betty Page. Aquamarine sees Queen, merging blue and green with an impassionate kiss. Want to reminisce. Become one with me. Please just make yourself at home, tattooed on my heart. Let no one but you know the beauty of my kiss, infinitely sweet. Chain me to your bed. Live out every fantasy with me, blessed be. Allure me wicked. Pierce deeply into my soul. You have full control. End poem.
Great read, Gina. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, why don't you kick us off?
Great read there, Phil. I really like, as always, Betty has wonderful, short, impactful lines. I like how she describes the color aquamarine by the phrase merging blue and green. But I also felt like there could be, like, that could also be the idea that one of them has blue eyes and one of them has green eyes, and the connection of the eyes as they're moving in for the kiss. I really liked how this, as always, had a really nice sensuality to it, a real great sense of giving oneself over to a lover. I liked how that she... And I like how that she used the word blessed. With me, blessed be. And then pierce me deeply into my soul. She always manages to put, oftentimes she puts lines in her poetry, such as the two I just commented on, with the idea that it's more than just a physical connection. It's an emotional connection. It's a spiritual connection between two people. So beautifully written and very well done.
Wow, thank you, Dan. And Randy, how about you?
Yes, as usual, Betty always does a great job with sensual poetry, and she certainly did it here, too. And I was really caught by the first line, since I know that the prompt was "Where the sky loves the sea" as part of the prompt, so it really caught my eye. The merging blue and green, because if you've ever been to sea, it's always amazing when you see the blue-green luminescence of the waves as you cut through the water, and that really caught my attention right off the bat. And she goes on with wonderful lines, "Become one with me, please just make yourself at home, tattooed on my heart." I mean, one line after another that are filled with passion, as Betty always does, and I really enjoy this.
Excellent. Thank you, Randy. And Jean, you got to read it. How about you? But you got to unmute first.
Gosh, dang it. Ay. Okay. I was trying to be good, and I'm trying not to be a bad typer. You know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I guess if tonight is one of those, it doesn't. But I thought this was a great brevity, and I much enjoyed the piece. I have to agree with Randy. It was nicely passionate. And it was short, and it was sweet. It really was right to the point with it. And I liked that about it. And, you know, nothing short of Betty's writing each week, you know. Because she usually puts in at least one piece a week or two. You know, it depends. So nice work, Betty, and, you know, thanks for sharing that with us. Absolutely.
Excellent. Thank you, everyone. I'm going to take a different tack, considering what she wrote to the Taylor Brave Ulysses. I'm going to go with the Siren. This is the Siren offering up that imprint and that thought of wisdom. Become one with me. Please just make yourself at home, tattooed on my heart. Let no one but you know the beauty of my kiss infinitely sweet. And then take me to your bed, live out of its fantasy with me, blessed be. Allure me wicked, pierce deeply into my soul. You have full control. But it's that that sailor offering himself up in the moment to desiring that forever. I think that was an excellent bit of twist with the sensuality going with it. All right, Jean, we're coming up back to you.
Okay. Night, Randy. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Randy.
Excuse me. Good heavens to Betsy. Okay, let me see. Gotta find one for Pam. Okay. And here we go. Okay, Pam. Great. Okay.
Yes, I was
Pam.
I was all prepared for you to assign this one to me since I was the only one who had not read yet. So I was off mute and I was listening carefully.
Actually, you know what, Pam? I had one in my cursor for Randy. He dropped just as it came to him, and I was like, well, don't now. I have to find one for him. So whenever you were ready, I put one up by co-op.
Oh. All right.
Thank you.
This is the Orange Nectarine by Colap, and it goes like this. Lemon nectarine sun reaching the Tropic of Capricorn teleported us into a four-poster bolero, your hazel eyes glued into mine. Our bed spinning like a top without a spinner. The ceiling fan switched on high, whipped the air in our room, and flew like a chopper through an open window towards a cerulean sky. A full moon rising high, an owl's hooting, a dog's howling, another glass of Savoine's Gargon, and the tawny boy groomed to be a waiter rushed back from the kitchen with the bottle and a corkscrew. Pop was a sound that rang like her laughter's bubble across the horizon, popping with the champagne's fizzle. The toothless storyteller sings to the accompaniment of the two-string troll. That's the fate of a kum-kam. That's the fate of a kum-kam. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. Jean, we're going to start with you.
Well, let me see. Oh, I'm not on mute. That's a good one. I think that this was well done by Colab. It was well thought through, and I like the imagery very much throughout. And then when you get down to the bottom, you know, when Pam was reading it, it's like, that's the fate of the kum-kam. That's the fate of the kum-kam. I was like, okay, what does that mean to me? Thank God she had it in the author's notes because I'd have been like, huh? That's the fate of the star-crossed couple. And I think that that really, I think she really nailed that throughout in the piece. Where's the one? Our bed spinning like a top without a spinner. The ceiling fan switched on high, whipped the air in our room, and flew like a chopper through the open window towards the cerulean sky. I mean, it's nicely rhymed. I think it was just good imagery. You know, it gave you, I don't know, it just put wonderful pictures in the mind and carried the thought through. So nice job, Colap, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you, Jean. All right, Pam, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, I too was really appreciative of the fact that she did put what kum-kam meant. Now, granted, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but, you know, that's okay. I thought this was a beautiful write all the way through. And what I really liked about it, it was a nice blending of seriality and reality. Like, it shows us the reality of two lovers, coming or almost coming together, or maybe coming together at some point and then falling apart. But there's also that some very surreal imagery, you know, with the ceiling fan switched on high with the air in our room and flew like a chopper through the open window towards a cerulean sky. I really thought that was just I thought that really fit well with the whole vibe of the song, especially in the beginning part. I also like that she says instead of just the storyteller, the toothless storyteller, because, you know, toothless kind of gives the idea of someone who's older, a wise storyteller, someone who has seen a lot. And so just a really strong write in the way that she brought in the characters into a surreal type setting. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Nice to say. I got a kick out of this, because she actually dug into the song and went full bore with the surreality. It was a nice touch, because she offers up the Orange Nectarine Sun as the title, but then starts off Lemon Nectarine Sun reaching the Tropic of Capricorn, teleported us into four-poster bolero. Your hazel eyes glued into mine. Great thought. And that second stanza, where the ceiling flew away, she offers up a whipped the air in our room and flew like a chopper through the open window towards the cerulean sky. Another great interpretation, and another glass of Sauvignon Garçon, well hidden too. But I got a kick out of that last stanza, the toothless storyteller sings the accompaniment of the two-string trow. That's the fate of a poo-com. That's the fate of a poo-com. The toothless storyteller. A nice take off the as the miller told his tale. Had a little bit of humor along with the framework of that, which is very much in the same thought as the original song itself, but played out a very different manner. I like it. Thank you, Colette. Jane.
All right. Well, Rex, I'm coming to you with this one. And whenever...
Okay. Manifestation by Arcana Amor. The darkness dominates curious consciousness that roars through empty, forgotten streets to ride the night on a silver steed, blazing trails of obsidian vapor. Ghosts await with invisible stares that pierce the veils of pitch-black primacy. Incantations stifle malignant minds, searching hungrily for souls to invade. The Kabbalistic cross nullifies all evil, that taunt and tease with a searing touch. They flee the shadows from flashes of light, remaining nameless within their realm. They hitch their rides on stains of pain, to follow with stalking, stifled strangles, that grip with fear those unbeknowing, and haunt their days with sneering sways. Cowering behind their brave facades, I watch as mighty shed their tears, straying near a faint, bright echoes that illuminate pale through the thoughts at ease. My home dwells in those restless ruins beyond the pall of nagging nightmares where deprivation awakens dreaded dreams to peacefully listen for waning whispers. Manifest, come hence, announce your presence, for I have sought through countless years to glimpse your form and call you forth, that I may rest assured you're here. And oh, nice day. Pam, I might as well, Arcana went with that her face. At first, it just goes, she turned a whiter shade of pale. And so was that later, as the miller told his tale, that her face at first just goes, she turned a whiter shade of pale. They went definitely into just a singular fold to get this out. So, Pam, what do you think?
I really like this. I like the way the majority of his stanzas are the same length and the lines, because it gives it a really nice, clean look to it. I also like the way there seems to be a meter to this poem, even though it's not a rhyming poem. So that's one of the couple of things I admire about it on a technical level. Also, wonderful use of alliteration with a delicate touch. I like how there's this really just mythological feel to this, but more than mythological, I think to me it's like the whole idea of delving into spirit realms and both the good and the evil, that the side of the veil that you don't necessarily understand. I was particularly intrigued by the Kabbalist cross nullifies all evil, the taunting keys with a searing touch. They flee to shadows and flashes of light, remaining nakedness within their realm. And cowering behind their brave facades, I watch as the mighty shed their tears, straying near faint echoes that illuminate pale thoughts at ease. I feel like that stanza brings you into the idea of a battle against good and evil, and a battle where those who brag about being brave are proven otherwise. So really just a strong emotive write and very well done.
Well said, Pam. Thank you very much. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I think this was a great piece drawn on the chorus of the song itself. Well, yeah, that was where it was. I had to, like, stop and think for a second. And I like the way that he, each one of these stanzas kind of gives you that, you know, if you were there and these things were happening, how you could get a whiter shade of pale, let's be real. So interesting thoughts there and a great, I don't know, I think it was a great angle to come in on. It was different. It came from a whole different place than I think this other right tap so far. And yeah, so great job by Arcana Amore. Kind of, you said it. So nice job.
Excellent. Thank you very much. You're right. This was, I wasn't expecting a nice dark ride off that, but it plays well off the lines that he took to play with. The darkness dominates curious consciousness that roars through empty, forgotten streets. To ride the night on silver steed, blazing trails of obsidian vapor. Well, that kind of hits the note of evil, dark, and maybe even death in the moment. And the thought of a ghost's wake with invisible stairs of pierce veils and pitch black crimes continues that note of darkness. Incantations stifle malignant minds, searching hungrily for souls to invade. So, Eric said that sort of what lurks in the darkness, if we pay heed to it and give it entrance, it will destroy us totally. Yet, there at the bottom end, manifest, come hence, announce your presence. For I have sought through countless years to glimpse your form and call you forth, that I may rest assured you're here. And that kind of hits on the notion of raising that that evil or that dark presence, undetermined ideas to move forward, whether it's to be invaded and ensconce oneself with the darkness or to actually use that darkness for other purposes. I like that back end thought. Nicely done, Arcana. Thank you very much. All right, Jane.
Okie dokie. Let me see, what was I going to do next? Oh, I know what I was going to do next. Here you go. I have a piece written by Eric Svensson. Hi, Mindy. A little late to the party, she said.
Hi, Mindy.
I see. Yeah, next time. I'm going to tell you what, while this is playing, I'm going to hang up and call back because I can't stand this echo I keep hearing. And it's only my voice.
Be fandango light, smack through sound barrier slap, Learjet to Tangiers, whiter shade of pale sky sutures left in its wake, skid road touch down, shapeshift merge with hangar shadows, brisk little blue Danube ditty, as chrome steps were up and out and down. Tangiers, not Casablanca. no suave Humphrey Bogart one-liner. Here's looking at you, kid. Mainline, unrequited love, the only mission. The dimmer, the seedier, the bar, the better. Craved the light fandango. Cartwheels cross the floor. Wanted to feel wombat seasick. Authenticate to eradicate. First thought after ninth deep drag from hookup pipe. Authenticate to eradicate. Veiled viper eyes watch from behind intricate lattice. Flying saucer tray with sweetmeats manifests. Authenticate to eradicate. Mainline, no. Just deep quantum drags from hookup pipe. And so it was that later, as the belly dancer danced her tail, that her face, at first just ghostly, turned a whiter shade of pale. No pain, no gain. Authenticate to eradicate. Don't like hangovers. So no Lauren Bacall bourbon sippin'. Decal belly dancer effective. Amber skin ripples, intricate bells. Rapid regret rivulets run. Converge at ample river delta hips. Red slipper fakir floats closer on a magic carpet. Lips below droopy black moustache move. The room hums harder. The ceiling flies away. Your mushrooms, Aladdin. Prefer a jolly ginny to grimy gin. Muse infusion takes over. Authenticate to eradicate. Jolly ginny better than grimy gin. Pimps and pimps bazooka the muse. No pain, no gain. Face unrequited love's pain. Authenticate to eradicate. Cause, the songwriter said, might have been smoking when I conceived it, but not when I wrote it. I was influenced by books, not drugs, and poems.
Great read, Eric. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. We really appreciate it. Woohoo. All right, Pam, step up to the plate, please.
Okie dokie, Smokey. Yeah, this is great fun. I mean, as a short thought, I had said that I really loved how this has strong imagery and metaphors and how it's that hookah trip, that hookah pipe trip through seedy bars. But I really like how this is about living life to the fullest and not always going into those clean environments, you know, searching out those seedy bars, searching out those experiences that will have you maybe regretting them in the morning, but that you know you've lived life to the fullest, that you have stories to tell. I really like no pain, no gain. So no Lauren Bacall bourbon sipping decal belly dancer effective amber skin ripples intricate bells rapid. You know, wonderful alliteration there, wonderful kind of use of sensuality. I also like prefer a jolly ginny to grimy gin. Muse infusions take over authentic to eradicate. Muse infusion takes over to me was just a powerful line in, to me in the whole idea. That when we really just don't try to force our muse into something, but rather listen to what our dreams, our thoughts, our muse are telling us, we can find ourselves soaring to like higher planes of poetry. So just absolutely a clever write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
I'm here. Wow. I don't know. Sometimes I worry myself. But I thought this was a great piece by Eric. It was just packed full of awesome thoughts and references throughout. I thought it was just really, really well done. If I were to pick something, it'd be kind of hard because I'd have to pick a lot of different things. But great references, you know. Prefer a Jolly Ginny to Grimy Gin. Grimy Gin, what is that? Jeez.
Must be that really dirty gin martini.
Yeah, maybe I'll go with that. There you go. I'm with you. I'll forgive him then. But I don't know. I just thought he's really intriguing as always. You know, you hear about the hookah pipe and the dirty, what is it, the grimy gin, and over here we got what's the last thing I just read it on the way past. Damn, don't like hangovers, you know. And then he's got Lauren Bacall in here and belly dancers. I mean, it's just full of all kinds of imagery and thoughts. So I have to, you know, say, you know, nice work there, because to throw all these things in and have it make sense and still lead in the direction you want is kind of, it's pretty awesome, actually. So, yeah, much enjoyed. Thanks, Eric.
Absolutely, I got to agree with you. He did trip the light fandango with this one because he walks through a whole mass of scenery that blows the mind. He thought through the dimmer, the seedier, the bar, the better. Create the light fandango, cartwheels cross the floor. Wanted to feel wombat sick. A little touch of humor there, too. What I was cool, too, was the authenticate to eradicate. Separating the words like that, doing it twice, had me thinking of the Emerson, Lake and Palmer's Carnival Number 9, Third Impression, a computer-generated voice, authenticate to eradicate, hit on that notion. I like the thought with the hookah pipe, and the red slip of fakir floats close on a magic carpet, lifts below droopy black mustache move, the room hums harder, the ceiling flies away. Your mushrooms, Aladdin? Nice touch with that, as well as the Jolly Gin and the Grimy Gin. Jolly Ginny and Grimy Gin. I knew that would get you up. And he dropped in a note from the songwriter. That bottom end is true. That comes from Keith Reed. Might have been smoking when I conceived it, but not when I wrote it. I was influenced by books, not drugs. That is actually true. So Eric did a little deep search for that one, but that was not easy to come by. It gets overlooked with everybody else's interpretations of the song itself. So nicely done, Eric. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And just so you know, Wichita Rick in the room said, you know, reading a major help in the overall vibe, authenticate to eradicate works so well when repeated. A lot of great visuals, like how it carried along. So see, we got another one. We'll get a comment. We'll get someone else to comment yet, Rex. You too, Pam. Get him out of the audience. Get him out of the crowd.
And Selena dropped in trippy. LOL.
Yeah.
Did Mindy comment?
She did.
She did. Okay, I missed that.
She says, diction perfection for sure. So, yes. Her other comment was under the poem itself. But in the room, that's what she said. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought she was actually on here with us. So that's why I asked.
No. Her phone is charging.
Not here yet. Ah, I see. Okay.
Yeah. I'm echoing again. I love it. Okay. And Pam, I have the next one for you, ma'am.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. This is Dance Macabre. by Stellina, and it goes like this. In the black velvet mantle of night they arise from the land of nightmares where the gelid wind sighs through the bone-chilling breath of haints and ghouls and breathless vampires with dripping drools. They haunt the souls who restlessly sleep, from whom despair and anguish do weep. And those who wake in the midst of this veil, at first just ghostly, turn a whiter shade of pale. Grotesque gargoyles grimace in the gloom, concealed in the shadows of the darkened room. Taunting and terrifying, they revel in their task to console the depravity from behind each mask. Their dance macabre swirls in frenzied flames, which lick the sinful flesh that shames their quarry, who in desperation wail and flail, at first just ghostly, turn a whiter shade of pale. End poem.
Great read, Pat. Thank you very much. And Jean, would you like to indulge first, or are you going to throw it back at me?
I'm going to toss it to you because Mindy, blame me. Because I started thinking about what poem I was going to grab next, and I kind of got lost over there, and I apologize. But I'm going to read it right
okay.
now. Promise. Sorry.
Okay, I guess. I like the end rhyme, the end line for both these stanzas. You played with that very nicely, using it as a note to that which is going on, because this kind of walks within that realm of that which one does not see, but which hides behind the veil of the mysterious, the velvet mantle of night, the land of nightmares, got breathless vampires. They haunt the souls who rest their sleep, well, in whom despair and anguish do weep. And those who wake in the midst of this veil, at first, just ghostly, in a wider state of veil. The nice term using that line itself to work a little bit more magic, and then grotesque gargoyles, haunting, terrifying, the dance macabre, offering up that note of them. They are just waiting for you to offer up the chance that they may enter within you and then enjoy that note of the bit of flesh that they no longer have. So,
you're actually fading, man. Sorry.
Nicely done, Selena. All right, Pam, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, well, it was a really nice poem to read. I liked, first of all, that wonderful use of alliteration, a great inner and end rhyme, as you mentioned, Rex. I really like that this is, it has a very classic poem feel to it and a very classic dark story feel to it. Breathless vampires with drippy drools, they haunt the souls who restlessly sleep, from whom despair and anguish do weep. I like that there's this really haunting feel in the whole idea of a sadness and a darkness that's been around forever. I also really like that she went with the G's, with grotesque gargoyles grimace in the gloom, concealed in the shadows of the darkened room. You know, part of me feels like the concealed in the shadow of the darkened room makes me think about how, like, when you're a child or even when you're an adult, you look around a room where all the lights are shut off and everything that looks normal and good in the like daylight, all of a sudden there's just this kind of changing of shapes as the imagination takes over. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you there, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Okay. Well, first I want to apologize for not being like, I was caught away from my post. I thought this was awesome, Stellina. There was great rhyme and meter, and I loved the use of alliteration also. It was well written to the prompt title. I really enjoyed it. That rhyme and flow just really carried the piece, and it was an easy read. And I always appreciate that. Sometimes, you know, the meanings get lost with rhyme but you can definitely stay on track and still have that great rhyme to it. And some people can and some people can't. And I think this was a great example of someone who could. So nice work, absolutely. I'll be quiet. Oh, I can't be quiet now. I forgot. I'm stuck.
We're not getting the hookah.
There you go. Hookah. Okay. Pam, you read that, so I'm back again. Rex, you're going to be a busy man tonight. We got all kinds of men's poetry here. Okay, let me put this one up for you. Okay. Here we go. Okay. And here we go.
She said, "There is no reason," by Kenny W. It was such a hard trip, the final one she ever took. It was such a hard trip, a one last ghostly look. She was floating through the ether. She was in a technicolor dream. She was seeing Chaucer's Miller. Things just weren't as they seemed. She swam with fish on different planets, played Chinese checkers with the Pope, looked for help from her Lord Jesus on this dying earth of no hope. As the Prague music swirled around her, a whirling dervish took her by the hand, and they danced and drank together to the deep tones of that Amund. Later, as the road got rough and rockier, find ways to get away, fighting booze and drugs and hassle, she was crying both night and day. Still she sang just like an angel, and with the angels she did sing. They all sang Leonard's Hallelujah, and the devil croaked, "Let's do this thing." So did she overdose purpose? I guess we'll never know. Another hippie chick gone forever. Another deadly psychedelic show. It was such a hard trip, the final one she ever took. It was such a hard trip, the one last ghostly look. Lately, the gig just ended for Gary, who sang Keith's ambitious words, a whiter shade of pale, sublime but yet absurd. They wrote so many great songs. Coco Harum was their name. It's all kind of odd, don't you think, man? They're not in that rock and roll Hall of Fame. And boom. All right, Pam. Let me get to you first.
Oh, absolutely. Great read there, Rex. I liked this all the way through. I like that he took it on a deep level of looking at the idea of someone who overdosed. And the question in everybody's mind, did they overdose on purpose? Did they overdose because of, you know, it was just one of those nights where a little too much? I really liked where he mentions Chaucer's Miller. She was floating through the ether. She was in a technicolor dream. She was seeing Chaucer's Miller. Things just weren't as they seemed. And then that, and I really like, he says the Prague progressive music, as the Prague music swirled around her, a whirling dervish took her by the hand, and they danced and drank together to the deep tones of that Hammond. Powerful lines there. I like how this takes essence of the song into his interpretation, but it also pays, especially with that postscript, to the song and the group themselves. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. And Jean, how about you? Unmute.
Okay, that's about enough of that. Really.
Yes,
I'm
it's all my
you.
Fault.
No, it's not your fault. You just catch me. That's all it is. Cracks me up. I'm steady. He's having a comment, and all of a sudden it's like, damn it. I thought this piece was... Yeah, here we go again. Okay, let me comment on the piece now since I'm back. You know, I thought this was an excellent piece. And, you know, earlier, like you had mentioned that, you know, they wanted this to be like a Dali painting, but in word and song. And, you know, this poem kind of pulls that in somehow because it's got all these different images. But the the fact that, you know, it's an overdose and, you know, basically a death, you know, you get that whiter shade of pale because people get so ghostly white. I have to say that. And I just think that he came in with such detail from so many different ways. You know, she was floating through the ether. She was in Technicolor Dream. She was seeing Chaucer's Miller. Things just weren't as they seemed. And then you get down to let me see now. God forbid I should find what I want right away. So did she overdose on purpose? I guess we'll never know. Another hippie chick gone forever. Another deadly psychedelic show. You know, and you get down to that last verse. Well, next to the last verse. And it kind of is like, yeah, okay, because, you know, it all just ties together there in that stanza to me. But I think that each stanza was very well done and well thought out. And, you know, great takes on my brain just went, huh? I don't know. He just pulled each stanza in and made it all, each one could really reflect the prompt, I think, in my head. I'm saying this now, right? I sound like I'm really on it. But it was just well done, and I thought that he pulled these thoughts together very nicely. Anyway, great job, Kenny, and I'm sorry. Sorry, didn't mean to take so long. I'll shut up now.
Sorry. I'm going to start with the P.S. on the back end. Kenny's right. They are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but the song A Whiter Shade of Pale did get into the Hall of Fame as a single back in 18. And there is another note. Procol Harum itself is kind of a misnomer. The Latin behind that word actually means beyond these things, but as they gave out the name of their group over the telephone, it got mistranslated, so to speak. The original Procol, P-R-O-C-U-L, and Harum, H-A-R-U-N, which was a blue Burmese cat a friend of theirs had. It referenced the bloodline, and they thought that was a nice touch for the group's name. But having it end up as Procol Harum, and then the thought, its Latin translation, it's beyond these things, kind of inotates that which they were doing in the first place, which was what Kenny's got up here. It's this very trippy, but an otherwise thought of a thought to what the words actually meant. This, he went through the thought of dying through drug addiction. So great piece there, Kenny. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
All right, Jane.
I'm glad you didn't hear my name yet. Okay, good. I finished that just as you said my name. Okay, now Rex heard that one. And we're there. And. Okay, Pam, who do you want to be? Do you want to be Eric Daniel Herman, or would you like to be CRL 17?
Oh, wait a minute. That one's not, I haven't got
We don't have permission from Eric.
Oh, okay. Well, that's easy peasy. No problemo. Okay, well, would you like to be Great Acute, or would you like to be CRL 17?
I would like to be the one that has the least amount of $5 words.
I can't help you there.
I'll take whatever you give me.
That's kind of some chicken shit right there. That's $5 words.
I have no idea. All I know is I got the next one. So there we go, Ms. Pam, whenever you are ready.
All right. This is Listen to Some Willie by CRL17, and it goes like this. I tried to drink my pain away one beer at a time. I never could get drunk enough to get you off my mind. I guess you think your life will be better if you drag my life through hell. Well, I just wish you'd pack up all your things, tight-fitting jeans and your diamond rings, you think I'll fall into a deep depression. No, not me. I've learned my lesson. Well, I'm not looking back at the all, those things that wrecked us. I'll keep my old truck. You can have your Lexus. Take whatever you think you need. Material things don't mean much to me. Well, it's bound to be happy hour at my favorite bar. Just tell me when to come home. I'll help you pack your car. You think that you were my last slow dance, but you're dead wrong. There's not a chance. Well, I'll keep my pride and my old blue jeans. You just grab your stuff and leave my dreams. I'm not shedding any more hurt to me tears. I'll be over you after a few more beers. I know I should feel sad and broken, but that just seems so silly. I'll just have a little buzz on tonight and listen to some Willie and poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. Ash, this is quite different. It hits on that note of a loss in the relationship itself, which the song is really about. But he walked in a different realm. Hey, you know what? I'm not going to go with protocol. I'm going to go with Willie to get me some over some blues after some beers and some great thoughts as to, you know what? Take your Lexus, get the hell out. I've had enough. I'm going to do what makes me happy in the moment. And right now, I'm going to drink the blues away and listen to some Willie. Nicely done, Chuck. Thank you very much. That was very different. Wasn't expecting that. All right, Jean, how about you?
Well, I wasn't expecting it either. So that was a good one. Let me see. Oh, wait, I'm not on. Wait, I'm not on mute. Write that on the calendar. wow. You know, I thought this was really a well-done piece, you know, prompted by Willie Nelson. And I think it was clever, and there was a bit of humor, you know, throughout. I liked the, what is it? I'm not shedding any more hurt me tears. Oh, God. I'll be over you after a few more beers. I know I should feel sad and broken, but it just seems so silly. I'll just get a little buzz on tonight and listen to some Willie. You know, that last stanza I thought was great. The rhyme was great all the way through. You know, just a really good piece, CRL, and, you know, thanks for sharing. That'd be great for a Willie Nelson prompt. God, you know. He did throw me with it. Right. I really was like, what?
Clever. Thank you, Jean. All right, Pam, you got to read it. What about you?
Well, I really enjoyed this because it was different, and yet it fit the song very well. It fit the whole atmosphere of drinking and getting lost in the music, but yet he chose a musician that he related to when it comes to the idea of, you know, just enjoying life. I really have to agree with Gene that this has wonderful humor to it, the whole attitude of, you know what, I'll just keep my old truck. You can take your Lexus, take whatever you need. You know, I thought that was a great message there. Material things don't mean anything. And I also like the attitude of, you think you were my last slow dance? Well, think again. You know, I mean, this is just an excellent write on the whole idea of enjoying life to the fullest without material things. So very well done.
And the funny thing is, it was straightforward, but the fact that it went to Willie was really surreal. So,
absolutely.
Nicely done, Kenny, and back to you, Gene.
Eugene, where the hell are you? Rex is calling you. Pam, you know, he's not answering, Rex. I'm sorry. As always, you know how it works. I'm just playing now. I'm just
he's
being a live guy.
He's probably listening to Willie and drinking some beer.
Nope. You know, probably. Pam, I think you've got it right. I definitely think you've got it right. You know how that works. And I want to apologize for the right before. Oh, God. Kenny, I think it was. Yes. Wichita Rick had put a comment on the board, and it was a relatively good comment, like lengthwise. So I'd like to read that one out and then go back to another poem. He said, yes, had a definite trippy edge on purpose as a prog music swirled around her. A whirling dervish took her by the hand, and they danced and drank together to the deep tones of the Hammond. And another hippie chick gone forever. Another deadly psychedelic show is a great picture. I've been hearing oddball prog albums all day, so this fit right into that mindset also. So just so you know there, Kenny, you aren't alone. Great job. And Mindy said, the CRL, that was a great set of lyrics waiting to be pressed into an LP. Nice read, Rex. There you go. So, okay, I'm going to try and get back on track now. I apologize. No, I'm a little crazy. Now, where the hell was I? Oh, I'm up here. Okay, skipping that one. I'm done that one. Tell you what, Rex, I'm going to give you the next one, and I'm going to take the next one.
Okie dokie.
Okay, this one is by Grade A Q.
Dearly departed by Grade A Q. Dearly departed. Even though you are gone, you are never forgotten. It's hard to distinguish. Since no longer my life you are not in. I'll mourn you till I join you. You'll always be a part of me. I thank the Almost High for the times together we got to be. Long live your legacy. In me you live on. You are truly loved and missed from everyone that you truly known. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday, but tomorrow going to come. It's been a long journey to where we are at now, to where we came from. You're Almost High. Don't make mistakes. It's all God's plan. We are going to celebrate your life until we meet again. You'll always be in my prayers. I'm thankful for you for being in my lifetime. I never imagined this day will come when you aren't physically on my lifeline. One day you are here, the next day you are gone. Depart to the heavenly skies to sit on your throne. The memories we had will never pass over. My love will never cease. Until we meet again, bless your soul. Eternally, rest in peace. Rest in peace to Sean Sean, Phyllis Kennedy, and Clayton Brown. And poem. And we're going to start with you, Pam.
I'm sorry, did you say my name?
No, your twin sister.
I'm sorry, my ear is so much more clogged up than usual. I think, wow, I really, well, first of all, I got to say, I see that he has some friends or family or friends' names at the bottom, and I'm not sure exactly, but I want to say, you know, of course, sorry for his losses. And I like that he took the song and how, you know, the reference to the whiter shade of pale. And as you had mentioned in another poem, Rex, how that can reference death, or maybe it was actually Phil that said it, now that I think about it, the idea of how people look pale. And I like that he looked at this as an opportunity to speak on death, but not death as a loss, but how after death people go on living through our memories, and you know how we can continue to have hope and be thankful. I really particularly like that part. I'm thankful for you for being in my lifetime. I never imagined this day will come when you aren't physically on my lifeline. You know, and that is so true. I think that's a very relatable part is, you know, when somebody is such an important part of our life, we can't imagine that they won't be. You know, just a really heartfelt and emotive write. And I like, as I said, the sense of hope in it is beautiful, and it's very well done.
Well said, Dan. Thank you very much. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I think this piece, it was nicely penned, you know, and along with Pam, you know, sorry for your loss. I think that it was quite a solemn piece and a great tribute to family and friends. So, nicely done. Nicely done.
I'll walk that very same path, but it is solemn, but what's driven at the base of this is a celebration, because keep hitting on the almost high, For the times together we got to be, long live your legacy, through me you'll live on. So there's that notation here of, even though it's hard to say goodbye to yesterday, but tomorrow going to come, it's been a long journey to where we are now, to where we came from. So there's that notation clear throughout that it is not just a solemn piece, but a celebration of the time they did spend together and the time that will be spent once more when we meet them on the other side. So nicely done there, Grade A. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, now it's to you.
Okie dokie. I'm having a little confusion here, but that's okay. I'm going to get back over here for a second. Okie doke. Yes, I can do this. I've done this before. I remember.
That's what she said.
Look, now you just better get your singing voice on, man. We're getting there. Okay. I said I was going to read this one, so I'll stick to my truth here.
My truth.
This is by Resurrecting After the Pandemic by Jesna Sajan. What if I tell you the mass destruction withstood, multitude deaths, loss of loved ones? Now we would be strong, happy, wise, joyful, healthy as we could. We together in pain, sorrows, expectations understood. Many lost their lives in silence. We a moment should respect the survivors nursing their pain unstood. Stood the test of time. The emptiness within, memories withstood. Can we conclude the life ahead is bleak or good? Can we presume we are feeling absent, more misunderstood? Can we keep moments of loss masked and shielded? Can we murmur remark, will we become pure? Can we be certain of uncertain people are unmoved? Can we be sure heavenly forces have disapproved? Many questions are left unanswered, leaving us confused. 2 years of darkness, death, dismay, work now resumed. Let us join hands together, see our mirror reviewed. Let us restart living again, let's not remain confused. Let not words of the past label us accused. Let us find ways of work, love, joy proved. Let us rekindle hope within, have faith renewed. End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. And thank you, Jesna. This was another different piece, taking that sort of a wider shade of pale for the how it's gone the last couple of years, and painting it with those questions, which, you know what, you can answer, most people can answer those questions themselves. It's a matter of understanding, you know what, there is risk in everything. Each day you wake up, there is a risk. You go to the store, there's a risk. So it's a matter of how much of that risk are you willing to bear, and how much will you shelter and hide. And the idea of getting on the label us accused. Let us find ways of work, love, joy, prove. Let us return hope within, have faith renewed. The idea is getting back to basics, an understanding. It isn't about blame. It's about grabbing back life by the horns and enjoying things instead of predisposing ourselves to a constant fear. Nicely done, Jasmine. Thank you very much. All right, Pam. You're up.
Okie dokie. Well, first of all, great comment there, Rex. I like how you use the phrase grabbing the bull by the horns. You know, and you're so right. That's the whole idea of that I saw in this poem is that living life after a difficult time, after like everyone being locked inside, and just moving forward, really liked that. And I did like that you put the questions in here, you know, and especially questions that don't have a specific answer. Can we be sure heavenly forces have disapproved? Can we presume we are feeling absent, more misunderstood? I like that you put in the word presume. You know, we cannot presume anything. So wonderful use of questions to make the reader think along with her, I do like, let us restart living again. but not remain confused. Let not words of the past label us accused. Let us find ways of work, love, joy proved. I like that. Work, love, joy proved. I think to me those sound like three things that make for a fulfilling life. So beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, as I said, Pam, thank you very much. And Jean, you got to read it. How about you?
Well, let me see now. Oh, I'm not on mute. That's a plus. That's really a plus. You know, I thought it was an interesting take on the prompt again. I thought that it was a great tribute to all that have had their worlds turned upside down, you know, since the beginning of this pandemic. So much time and so many loved ones lost. I mean, it's, you know, a sad, sad and sorry state of affairs, you know, from everything that everyone has gone through one direction or another, or, you know, and it's sad. I mean, it's a lot. But I think this piece really was a nice tribute with all that in mind and, you know, respectfully done. So nice job, Jessna. Yep.
And it's back in your court since you were the last one.
Okay, I read that one. Yes. Okay. I can stop and think of these things. Okay. Well, Pam, you get to be Wichita Rick right now.
Okay, cool.
No, Pam. Pam is Wichita Rick.
Ah, all
and
right.
Then,
oh, really?
Get in.
Okay.
Yes, you are.
So as long as
surprise,
I don't have
surprise.
To deepen my voice to be Wichita Rick, I am all good.
You know, I really want to say something really bad, and I'm shutting my mouth and clenching my teeth and biting my tongue just to refrain from anything that I might say. Here we go. Whenever you're ready.
All right. Here we go. A Better Taste Than Kale by Wichita Rick, and it goes like this. We skipped the light appetizer. They had become such a bore. Restaurant was kind of dirty. There were cockroaches on the floor. Place was so crowded, we didn't know what was in store. Jukebox humming harder as bugs flew across the ceiling. I told them I didn't drink as the waiter ran away. So not much later, she cried, rather have a mater or a tater. Miss Miller screamed her tale. In her face, you could plainly see. She cried, there has to be a better taste than kale. Vegetarian waiter returned and said, there is no reason. It is obvious to me. Would not let Miss Miller be. Flavors quickly falling like a house of recipe playing cards. She said, put the meat in the fire. I am not one of the vegetarian virgins who came in from the coast. Oh, my eyes were open, but the waiters were obviously closed. So not much later, she cried, rather have a mater or a tater. Miss Miller screamed her tale. In her face, you could plainly see. She cried, there has to be a better taste than kale. She said, we are home on shore leave, have plenty of crappy food at sea. She was screaming for her drinking glass, and I was starting to agree. Recalling King Neptune had warned us about barmaids named Mermaid. She was smiling faintly and once again began her plea. So not much later she cried, rather have a mater or a tater. Miss Miller screamed her tale. If her face you could plainly see, she cried there, has to be a better taste than kale. Sound of music was stronger than the waiter, who was a queen, didn't know the front from his own behind. The truth is, the restaurant was not very clean. We had not ordered, starting to eat the menu cardboard, making us miss the ocean meal and the shipboard bed. Smells and sounds, her voice come quickly. So not much later she cried, rather have a mater or a tater. Miss Miller screamed her tale. In her face, you could plainly see. She cried, there has to be a better taste than kale. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Oh, that was a blast. There's a note in the AM. Little fun. I had the title, but just followed the lyrics. To tell Miss Miller's tale, of trying to get a real meal on her first shore leave was in the Navy, so that helped. I'm a lifelong cook and well-known to eat most anything, but somehow the taste and magic of kale eludes me. Author's note, no vegetarians or waiters were offended in the writing of this poem. Continue the fun and pun. Nicely done there, Rick. All right, Gene, you get the laughs first.
Oh, my God, that's just way too funny. You know, I was listening to Pam read it, and I was just sitting here cracking up. You know, so not much later she cried rather than have a mater or a tater. Miss Miller screamed her tail, and her face you could plainly see. She cried there has to be a better taste than kale. What a great swap for the chorus line. And definitely, you know, great stanzas in between. Just a great piece, Rick. A lot of fun. And definitely, you know, brought a smile to the face. Mm-hmm. Well done. Oh. Well done.
Definitely. This was a howler. Pam, how about you?
Oh, I really enjoyed this. I had read this earlier, and I told them in Late Night Poets, I said, the title alone was funny, A Better Taste Than Kale. But then the whole thing was absolutely a hoot. I just love the idea of these people who have been on board a ship eating that, you know, that ship food, like that Navy food, and they're on shore leave, and they're looking for something good, but they get stuck at a vegetarian restaurant where everything tastes like kale and cardboard. This just had a really great flow to it. It was fun. It was amusing. And it just absolutely very well done.
Absolutely. This was a howl. Oh, let me see. He dropped in some great stuff in here. Recipe playing cards. Nice. I am not one of the vegetarian virgins who came in from the coast. Oh, my eyes were open, but the waiters were obviously closed. Nice touch. We are home at shore leave, had plenty of crappy food at sea. She was screaming for a drink of ice, and I was starting to agree. Recalling King Neptune had warned us about barmaids named Mermaid. She was smiling faintly and once again began her plea. Oh, nicely touched. And the thought with the waiter who was the queen didn't know the front from his own behind. The truth is the restaurant was not very clean. well done, Rick. That was a great bit of fun. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, we're coming back to your point.
Well, just so you know, actually, I picked Mindy up while you were commenting. So, hi, Min. Welcome aboard.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Mindy.
Hi, Rick. Hey, Pam.
Hey, Mindy. Good to hear you.
Did you get to hear that piece?
I did. It was fantastic. I absolutely love that. In fact, I wrote a big old fat comment on it because I think we're about all done to death on kale. And this was a terrific response to that. You know, everything had to be kale there for a while. And I thought terrific lines that synced really well with the song lyrics and that same kind of tone and rhythm all the way through it. I thought it was a really creative crafting, and the depths of humor were fantastic as well. And mentioned that along with my salad, I'd like a ribeye steak, please. Great, right?
Oh, it was a blast of a piece. Thank you very much, Rick, and thank you, Mindy. All right, Gene, we're coming back your way.
Okay. Well, let me see what I have here. Okay, I have. Who just read? Good Lord, help me. Pam just read. She was Wichita Rick. I got it. I got this, I think. Okay, Rex, I'm going to put your piece up next. This will work. I'm going to put your piece up next. So whenever you're ready.
Okie dokie. Greater Shades of Whale. We stripped the night commando, tossed our duties to the door. All things were glowing black. The band screamed out the score. Our flume was strumming calmer. as those voices blew apart, we were calling out in floods of lust as tuner tongues impart. And so it was their fate, as that satyr wove his veil, that those faces, at first mostly, burned in greater shades of wail. They said, this is their season, and the lies are always free. So we sauntered through the grating yards to see what we could see. 10-4 to a salty sturgeon, swimming in orders from its host, and blind they were in opened eyes, who never saw the coming roast. And so it was their fate, as that satyr wove his veil, that those faces at first mostly burned in greater shades of wail. They drank, saw in dusty suicide, because hate knows no harmony. All were dipped in alter egos, giving rise to blasphemy. Dining on that magic mountain, riding helter-skelter slide, while they grinned at us so madly, porridge-fed and hypnotized. And so it was their fate, as that satyr wove his veil, that those faces at first mostly burned in greater shades of wail. If logic is the food of warmth, where laughter is unheard, then also in frontwards back, that goal is quite absurd. So give them a spittoon, as that life slips through their hands, when they're drooling and erratic, this is fitting on the sands. And so it was their fate, as that satyr wove his veil, that those faces at first mostly burned in greater shades of wail. And Paul, and that sucked. Damn. I should have just read that one.
I thought that was great.
Quiet. Did I kill everybody with that?
Well, I thought it was great singing. I was actually surprised, though, because you had said earlier that you weren't going to sing, so I figured either one of two things, either Phil paid you to sing or she threatened you. And I'm just curious which one.
Which one what?
Did Phil pay you or did she threaten you?
Neither. I just drank some tea.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, I'll be quiet now so you can get people to comment.
Okay. Mindy, how about you? What'd you think?
Well, I always heard you're supposed to make a joyful noise, and so that's the point. You did a great job. I think that we stripped the night commando, tossed our duties to the floor, was a gripping first line to start with, and you kind of blew my doors in with that one. That was awesome. And I was so into the lyric of this that I followed every word, and in doing so came across a few that I'd never heard of. What is a son dusty?
It's actually it's Wyandot from it means water in waters. So my thought there is Kool-Aid, so to speak.
Oh, got ya. Okay. Yeah, this was really one of those entrancing pieces, and you write such purpose and meaning intense lyrics that it's one of those things where you really want to look at the lines over and over again, just for the purposes of catching little Easter eggs like that sawdusty. I mean, that's a very specific term when applied in one way means something and also has the deeper underlying meaning of that water and water that you just explained. I think it's a beautifully written piece, and I enjoyed your read very much. Nice work.
Thank you, Mindy. All right, Gene, we're coming back to you.
Well, Pam, did you comment?
Yeah, what's up with that? You're going to skip me?
Were the first one running your mouth.
All I did was comment on your singing because the room was so quiet, I figured somebody needed to say something. So, okay.
Well,
so may I?
It was all quiet because I was on mute, And I'm steady saying, Pam, would you like to comment on this? And everybody was talking to me, and I said, you were all...
Ah, caught behind the veil of the whitest shade of pale again.
Oh, God, you know. It's like, and you're all stepping all over me, and I'm saying, why are you walking on my words? And all of a sudden I realized I was on mute, and I said, you dumbass. You know.
Oh, yeah. <Sorry. laughs> Oh, man, I've been there too, Phil. I feel you. Okay.
Not as often as I. I'll shut up now.
But, man, I have to agree with Mindy. It's beautiful. And it's thought-provoking. I really like your use of such words as helter-skelter and dining on that magic mountain riding helter-skelter slide while they grinned at us so madly, porch-fed and hypnotized. Porch fed makes me think of the Oliver Twist with please, sir, may we, I have some more. I also really like that you bring in the tune. Then also in front words back that goal is quite absurd. So give them a spittoon as that life slips through their hands and they're drooling and erratic, hissy fitting on the sand. I really like hissy fittings on the sand. Because it's that whole idea of those people who throw temper tantrums when their egos are not stroked. I did like the chorus stanza with the mention of the satire. And so it was their fate as the satire wove his veil, that those faces at first mostly burned in greater shades of wail. To me, it's that whole idea of the reality that is unveiled in front of people's eyes that they don't like. And so just really a powerful, thought-provoking write. Great fun to listen to you sing it. I'm glad you chose to do that. And very well done.
Thank you, Pam. All right, we're coming back to you, Jean.
Oh, thank you. You know, I never make you poke comments on your own stuff, just saying. But I think this was really well done, right?
I thought you were out doing something.
Walking all over what I'm saying here. What is going on? I thought you were the rudest bunch of people tonight. Crazy me. I should have known better.
And you love us anyway.
You know, I do love you anyway. I couldn't believe it. I'm going, what is the problem? Then I realized the problem was mine, as usual. I was
I didn't throw the mute at you at that point. I just moved on to another one.
Yeah, right. But I think you did a great job, Rex. It was a clever storyline throughout, like the one that you told was good and, interesting. I thought it was thought-provoking imagery for sure, but it well-penned. So nice work there, bud. Okay.
Thank you, everyone. All right. What are we dipping into now?
I don't know. I have. We're going to finish these out tonight. I'm just saying. We're gonna. Because that's.
So we got about three or four.
We have three. I have one for
Perfect.
Pam, and I have one for me, and I have one. Well, you're going to sing the last one because that's what we do. Okay, Pam. Whenever you're ready.
All right. So I wrote to the part, the lines, one of 16 Vestal virgins who were leaving for the coast, and though my eyes were open, they might as well have been closed. So, and this is the matron of the hearth, and it goes like this. I saw the matron Vestal walking past closed doors. She told me, I perceive I'm welcomed here no more. My temple's been demolished. These are not my times. My fire burns no more. I'm treated as a crime. Family is falling apart. Marriage is not sacred. My ministry is falling down beneath the weight of hatred. I said, what about the priestesses and the Vestal virgins? She said, my holy ones are gone. These are empty generations. She is goddess of the flowers, goddess of the seed, controller of the phallus, that stands on her decree. Goddess of the family, goddess of the home, how shall we live in peace if you are forced to roam? The sadness that she felt was heavy in the air. She said, they've trampled upon my threshold, and they don't even care. She rode away upon her donkey, personified as flame. I wept for a nation that forgot her purpose and the power in her name. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And I guess, Mindy, why don't we start with you?
Well, I wrote holy shit first. It gave me chills. I was not prepared for where she took this, which was wonderful because it hit me face first. I mean, it really did. It hit me powerfully. When you got down to the second stanza, all of a sudden my mouth dropped open because you took this to the spiritual aspect and in a very powerful way, in a very real and germane way. In the here and now culture right now, this is so timely and powerful. My temple has been demolished. These are not my times. My fire burns no more. I am treated as a crime. And then with the understatement and the underlayment of family is falling apart. Marriage is not sacred. Ministry is falling down beneath the weight of hatred. The poignancy just is like sucker punches. 1, 2, 3, 4. And that's where the goosebumps came in. This is a really powerful rite. And it was delivered with such subtlety, the way that you read it, the cadence in your tone and the level that you maintained in your demeanor through the entire rite added and lent to the power of the pieces. It delivered them. And when I mean delivered, then I do mean is that 1, 2, 3, 4 of a sucker punch. This is a really great rite. It's probably up there with maybe my favorite three that you've ever penned. This is a beautiful rite. Great job, Pam.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
Excellent. Thank you, Mindy. All right, Jean, what you got?
I don't know. It depends on if I'm on mute or not. Okay.
No, you're full view. Like that picture.
You know, if I hadn't been on mute too many times tonight, the show would have been fine. We wouldn't have had to go on overtime. But I thought this was an excellent piece, Pam. A great take on the prompt, strong and wonderful, really well expressed all the way through. Great lines upon great lines, great stanzas all the way, you know. It was an exceptional piece. So nice work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jean. Well, that picture, the first thing I thought it was Bob Seger. With one thing in common, they got the fire down below.
That's not exactly where you went,
except until you got to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. She is goddess of the flowers, the goddess of the seed, controller of the phallus that stands on her decree. Then you brought the touch of familiarity to the piece on that picture itself. But yeah, it does speak to something a little more deeper. The curtailing of that which used to walk holy among peoples, which now kind of is sitting on the roadside, trampled and run over a few dozen times.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Rex. And thank you for the inspiration. Oh, and I did, when you get a chance, I did put anybody who wants to read about her, I did put a Wikipedia link to the Roman goddess Vesta, which were who the Vestal Virgins actually took care of her temple. And so a lot of the references in this is not only about, you know, our culture nowadays, but about her as a goddess. Like she was, you know, the goddess of fertility, of the hearth and the home, of family and marriage.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and one quick interesting fact, she actually, the worship of her was so important in ancient Rome. She was the last of the Roman temples that worshipped non-Christian God getting down because she
wow.
had that many followers. Yep.
That's something. Very cool, Pam. Very cool.
Great comment, you guys. All right. Jean, we're coming back to you now.
Well, as for I want to say something to Arcana Amor. I've sent you three different links, and they're all to tonight's show. And tonight's show is Rhythm and Rhyme with Rex, Intimidus Rex. I'm not sure why it's taking you somewhere else. I apologize that you're having a hard time, but I don't know how to fix the problem. I'm sending you the actual link, and I don't know if it's the time difference, but you're actually ahead of us, so you should actually be opening to the same show. So I'm sorry I can't help you. I don't know how.
Well, actually, if he's ahead of us, he shouldn't be able to open yet because we haven't closed out. But he should be able to listen to the back end of the show.
Correct. And he can't. He keeps telling me that it's giving him last night's show, but the link I sent him, I've clicked on, it says, takes me right to us. So I'm not sure how to help help them with that. So I apologize, but I can't. Okay. Mindy, I have your piece up next.
All righty. Thanks.
My buddy, my pal.
Beyond depths of white, clarity is murder. Neptune's domain churns, gardens harshly of passions profane. Solange, mate, rounds draft of foggy pale, pours sorrow seldom shorn, rain wells and memories recall. Brine to barnacle, trench sediment scrapes, illusory swirled dances, lobes drift to escape. Cultures ply ghosts in haunted refrain, host to lies, sliver mirrors, sliver pain. Dusty Miller once brightened, whitewashed a Nile silence filled. Chapel bells mute frightened, tales sea storms overspilled. Lily the hand still beloved, though prayer clung to core brave. Flame tresses float forever doused, consumed by jealous rogue wave. Pub tally dregs of days taken. Sober lads soon fade within their loss. Hughes moaned, mourned, soak in love's forsaken. Soul siphons bleaching, color to draw. End poem.
Great read, Mindy. Thank you very much. And Pam, wanted to start with you.
Oh, this is absolutely beautiful. I'm glad you were inspired to write and to call in to read, Mindy. Although it doesn't surprise me that you were inspired with the references to the sea, because we all know how much you love going into mythology of the sea. I really like Brine to Barnacle, Trench Sediment Scrapes, Illusionary Swill Dances, Lobes Drift to Escape. I like that whole idea, the idea of escaping to somewhere where our dreams take us. Dusty Miller once bright and whitewashed, and now silence chill, or I'm sorry, I'm not quite sure what that word is. My eyes are blurring. I apologize, but I whitewashed. Now, that's what I want to focus on. I apologize that I can't tell what that one word is, but I do want to focus
still
on white still. Okay. I really like whitewash because it was a different way to take a whiter shade of pale. It was that whole look at the idea of those whitewashed tombs. It was hypocrisy of the Pharisees. It's the whole idea of whitewashing the truth or whitewashing the lies so that they appear to be the truth. I also like how you bring in this kind of spirituality into it with though prayer clung to core brave flames, presses foil forever, doubts consumed by jealous rogue wave. And jealousy is such a horrifying and powerful emotion that even though we have good intentions with love and prayer, it can often just take over and cause that drowning. As always, you have a beautiful and powerful use of language, and this is very well done.
Thanks, Pam.
Well said, Pam. Thank you. And Jean, what do you think?
Okay. Well, I thought this was a wonderful take on the prompt. Well penned. I enjoyed your phrasing throughout, as always, and I really enjoyed this piece. It was just clever and well put together, as always. As always, wonderful work.
Thanks, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Actually, I got to say the same thing. I like the fact that you start that second stanza with slant. Cheers, mate. Rounds draft of foggy pool. Poor sorrow seldom shorn. Rain wells and memories recall. And then you finish out with pub tally dreg of days taken. This is this hits on that notion of each of those towns that rely on ships going to sea for fish, lobster, whatever they're going out for, and how they pay the price in both the celebration of that and also that which comes, would you hit on the thought, where is it, consumed by jealous rogue wave, the thought of all those bodies that never come home, yet they still, they'll celebrate them when the time comes, and they'll also bury them without those bodies. So they still have that that cold-hearted notion that, yes, we know the sea takes and we take from it, yet it's still hard mm-hmm. on those small towns and villages that lose such a healthy patch of good men in one shot. And this kind of hits on that notion, as well as in time, the passing does get a little easier. But as those who remember pass on, all that got left is that statue that sits in the square that has all the names writ and the dates they perished on them as a remembrance to those who were taken by the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rick.
Oh, you're welcome. And, well, Jen, we're back to you.
Well, actually, I'm tossing it back to you because this is the last piece of the night. And, you know, this crazy woman. I don't know what she's doing, but this is it. And if you would be so kind, Rex, I did it a parody, and I tried to make it spot on.
Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
He rocked her to her core. I fill my eye. They listened to the radio, dancing slowly across the floor. She was feeling kind of busy, but his heart, it wanted more. The song was playing louder as inhibitions went astray. No desire for another drink. There's nothing she can say. And not all that much later, as their bodies hit the floor. At first, her thoughts uncertain. Then he rocked her to her core. He said, I need you deeply. And his want was plain to see. But she lost all sense of time and space as he whispered poetry. She was no vestal virgin, but he touched her to her core. And she turned a whiter shade of pale and then cried out for more. And not all that much later, as their bodies hit the floor. At first her thoughts uncertain, then he rocked her to her core. And parody. Alright, Mindy. What'd you think of the pitch and Gene Peace?
You did a great job singing that too. You did a great job singing that. And you wrote that perfectly in time with the music, Gene. That was awesome. I had it playing in my head while he was reading the lines. This is great to read. Number one, first draft of your work in a new rice that's only 2 hours old. This is a fresh baby, and its lines touch on deeper things, much deeper things, and those interplays of human contact. And I like the way that you wove the whiter shade of pale into the story as well. It really played well with the music and with the lines that you've got here. Terrific job.
Thank you, hon.
Nicely said, Mindy. Thank you. All right, Pam, how about you?
Oh, I like this. I have to say, first of all, I am so envious of your ability to write a spot-on parody. And, you know, I like how this is. It's fun and it's romantic, and there is that idea of you know, touching. I like that you put in there, he said, I need you deeply, and his want was plain to see, but she lost all senses of time and place as she whispered poetry. A wonderful, like, intimate moment. And now that Rex has whet your appetite for writing, maybe we'll see something on Wednesday involving you howling and a full moon.
I told her she can repeat this for Wednesday because this kind of fits the bill. And then everybody asks, where the hell's the rest of it? We want more.
But this is awesome, okay. Phil. Very well done.
I was going to say, don't I have a piece in that?
What's that?
I think I have a piece in that show. I think I have a piece in that show.
Oh.
Sure.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Oh, absolutely. Great comment, guys. Yes, I did say Jean sent this to me because she wanted to make sure the count, the syllabic count was right and the tempo and the beat was, and it was right. But she just changed a couple of words because she wanted to hit on a different, and then she went looking for the picture. But what was I going to say? This is the mirror image, the opposite to the piece itself. The whiter shades of pale in that are definitely on the breakup, while this is going into the other direction and hitting all those notes that were wanted in the original, but never got there. And she's playing off that angle and walking it straight down to the ocean shore with this piece. And then just leaving it off at the end for your own imagination. But I did like, as she turned a whiter shade of pale and then cried out for more, what is that beggar notes? Yo, why did she turn a white shade of, oh my God. Ma!
Oh my goodness. Wow.
I was going to say, wow. Isn't it Le Petit Mort, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh,
there you go.
Ah. I don't know what you're talking about. None of you.
Oh, right. Like you haven't been there before.
Right. And we bought that.
That was too easy. You left that shoe right on the floor for somebody to kick it. And hey, I got a fool goal out of that one.
Yeah. I thought it was great. I had to laugh because that when I came up with that line, I was like, oh, yeah. I said, that'll work. Because then I could incorporate the title of the song, you know, into the poem. But, boy, I'll tell you, that was my first piece for the whole year. So if I do one every 3 months, I'll be good. I'll get 4 to the end of the year. Yeah, I'll be good. Damn.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Quarterly. I only write quarterly now.
Well, let's see now. We're at the back end of closing time, so let's say I've got Offspring on the menu for next Sunday. And great show, Gene. Had a lot of fun. Mindy, thank you for coming on board. Pam, thank you for coming on board. Randy, thank you for coming on board to read and comment. You all were wonderful. And to which we shall bid you good night, as we had some laughs and we had some darkness and we had some really surreality roll through this piece. Hey, a hell of a lot of great rights and some fun had all the way around.
Absolutely. It was a great prompt. I think that's what was the best part of it, because the prompt could go so many different directions. So.
Oh, it did, too.
It did, absolutely. And Mindy, I was glad to hear you tonight. That was nice. And Pam,
oh, it was
always
great
good
show.
To hear. Yeah, I have to agree. Thanks, Rick, for hanging out with us. Excellent. And, Rex, great job. And with that,
had a lot of fun.
We'll say good.
Thank you, everybody.
Good. You take care now.
We'll do this again next week.
You betcha. Good night,
guys. Yeah, we might have to do a show on the pirate songs.
Pirate songs, there you go. Didn't we do
Justice
one of those
and
ones?
Justice and Giggles.
I think we did one of those one time, Rex. What the heck do they call that?
A grog fest?
There's a term.